Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for tonight is the Gospel lesson and the Old Testament reading that have already been read. I will not reread them, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Kings are expected to be men, well, of dignity and decorum, of regal behavior and composure. Kings don't run, they stride. Kings don't just throw something on, they are robed. And kings don't just grab a bite to eat, they dine. Therefore, kings certainly don't leap. But in our Old Testament reading today, a king engages in some not so regal behavior. King David is leaping. He is leaping because he is overjoyed. One of his wives, Saul's daughter, Michal, thinks this is undignified. Others might also be shocked at King David's behavior, but he doesn't care. It's good to be king. He is overjoyed that the Ark of the Covenant is coming into Jerusalem. You have heard how the Ark of the Covenant was set apart, a place for God's presence, a special place covered with gold and the mercy seat. David had attempted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem 3 months before, but there had been a mishap. The ark had slipped. Uzziah touched it, and he struck dead. So it was left there with Obed-Edom. It was given to him like, we don't want it, you keep it for a while. You can see the handoff taking place. David was afraid. But now that he's hearing that things are going well for Obed-Edom, he's like, well, we should bring the ark up. Let's bring it to Jerusalem. As part of the procession, David changed into priestly garments, sacrificed before the ark and entered Jerusalem dancing and leaping for joy because God's presence was there. David's wife may not have found his behavior very fitting for a king, but God did. In fact, God struck David's wife with barrenness for the rest of her life because of how she scorned David's joy on that day. Rejoice. It's a word that echoes through the church this week. This is the week that we light the pink candle. It's Gaudete. It's a time to rejoice in this Advent little Lenten season, as you've heard me say before. We hear the words of Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. But what is the reason for this perpetual rejoicing that Paul is calling for? It's simple. The Lord is at hand. That truly is the cause for our rejoicing. We don't have to go up to heaven to find Him. We don't have to go into some search to look for Him. Rather, He comes down to us. The Lord comes near us. That news should make our hearts leap with exceeding joy. But often we just don't rejoice. Often our hearts are numb or cold to Jesus' call and God's presence. We are, at this point, no King David. And because of that, we often hear the phrase, stir up. It's in the collects of Advent. We pray that God would stir up our hearts because, well, they don't respond rightly to His coming. Instead of exploding in joy, our hearts are heavy with longing and desire that have nothing to do with the Lord. It's kind of interesting, though, if you think about it. The church begins Advent with the cry, stir up our hearts, O Lord. And at the end of the year, we're screaming, wake up! Wake, O sleeper! What is it about being a Christian that causes us to try to sleepwalk through life, at least through our faith? How the church is constantly calling for us to wake up, to repent, and come to life. For our hearts are heavy with discontent. We have sunk the roots of our lives into the bitter waters of selfishness and jealousy. and we have borne some very rotten fruit. We rejoice in things like retirement and sports and items checked off our bucket list because it makes us feel like we've completed something. But the drawing near of the Lord, well, maybe I'll have time for that next year. Maybe I'll have time for it when I get older. Which always begs the question when you hear that kind of thinking, who said you were going to get any older? You see, the question has to be asked, when in our busy schedules will we have time for God to serve us and we rejoicingly serve Him by serving our neighbors? Our lips may acknowledge Him, but our hearts are far from Him. Unlike King David in our text, we are far more concerned with how we appear to others than how we appear before God. God knows this about us, though, and yet still He desires to be with us. In fact, He is so interested in us that He desires to draw near to the whole world, to all people, with the sin-heavy hearts, and to give us a reason to rejoice. Unborn John the Baptist understood this in our gospel today. He understood the joy the Lord Almighty gives by sending Jesus in human flesh among us. When the pregnant Mary visits the pregnant Elizabeth, who is thought to be barren but was not barren, the unborn John leaps upon hearing the voice of the woman carrying the world's Savior. Something even more wonderful than the Ark of the Covenant had come. How much more reason than for John to leap like David did? Mary carried in her womb none other than God's presence in human flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Maximus of Turin, a 5th century bishop, speaks of it this way. Not yet born, already John prophesies, and while still in the enclosure of his mother's womb, confesses the coming of Christ with movements of joy, since he could not do so with his voice. As Elizabeth says to Holy Mary, as soon as you greeted me, the child in my womb exulted for joy. John exults then before he is born, before his eyes can see what the world looks like, he can recognize the Lord of the world with his Spirit. In this regard, I think that the prophetic phrase is appropriate. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you came forth from the womb, I sanctified you. Thus we ought not to marvel that after Herod put him into prison, he continued to announce Christ to his disciples from his confinement. When even confined in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, he preached the same Lord by his very movements. Here ends the quote. You see, God is drawing near. Mary is the Theotokos. She is the God-bearer. And Jesus is God incarnate, enfleshed. So God is not just drawing near to Jerusalem, but He's drawing near to the entire world forever. Jesus is like us, and yet He is fully divine. His holy, sinless presence in Mary's womb made her something very special. It made her anew, the new and better bearer of God's presence. She is God's new Ark of the Covenant, and she bore the new and greater mercy seat, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, inside her. Though we turn away from God, He still turns towards us. He became incarnate so that we could be stripped, so that He could be stripped and humiliated for our offenses and die on the cross to atone for our indifference towards Him. Though it may not look like it at first glance, the most joyous sight we could ever see is the promised Son of David drawing near to Jerusalem to die for our sins. his joy in doing his Father's will is better than King David's joy. Jesus' joy in willingly going to the cross meant our acquittal and our resurrection to an eternal life with him. The child who came forth from Mary's womb would also come forth one day from the tomb, making the tombs of all believers the womb of the earth, from which we receive new birth on the last day, as Jesus has triumphed over sin and death and the devil for us, to reign on the throne of his father David forever. Soon, the well-known Christmas hymns will ask the question, as we did tonight, what child is this? The answer is enough to make our hearts leap like the unborn John the Baptist. What child is this? It is the same God who drew near to King David and made him leap. It is the same God who drew near to John the Baptist and made him leap. This child is the world's joy bringer. Joy in flesh, the sinner's delight. He is pure cheer for our heavy-hearted and the oppressed. He is the one whose second coming we long for and we pray for. Until then, we rejoice that he still draws near to us. In his word, in his sacraments, he comes so near that the forgiveness he gives through his word of gospel goes right down into your heart and stirs it up, revives it, and refreshes it. He comes so near that the word that made John leap takes residence in our hearts, and you can't but help leap in gladness and peace and love that overflows to others. He comes so near that his Holy Spirit fills our body and our hearts and makes us a new creation in Christ. He will one day draw near from his eternal throne one final time, and we will bear to him in the flesh forever. We will be near to him in the flesh forever. So rejoice, therefore, like David and John the Baptist. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is at hand. What child is this? It is Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.